The first year that I came to Arlington, as we were called by this church to become your shepherd, we had this old green Suburban. I don't know if some of you can remember that. But about 3 weeks before Christmas came, our heater went out. And we just weren't able to get it in and get it fixed in time. And so on our way to Minneapolis to visit my parents for Christmas Eve, we had no heater whatsoever. And I don't know if you remember the first year I was here. It was blizzard conditions and it was cold. And anyway, as we drove back, actually this was the second year. I have to correct myself. I'm sorry. This was the second Christmas I was here. Anyway, as we were driving back to Minneapolis, the kids got in the car. We had quilts and sleeping blankets all, like, everybody was like rolled up and trying to stay warm. And as we set out from my parents' house in a truck with no heater, it seemed like it was going to take forever. It's about a four-hour drive, and I can remember the kids going, "Dad, it's so cold in here. How are we going to make it?" And we did the best we could. But it was interesting. Something really changed as we got closer. As we got about an hour away, that the ride didn't really seem to affect us as much. We started thinking about Grandma's cookies. And we started thinking about the fireplace, that even though it's a gas fireplace, it was a fireplace. And that fireplace would be gone, and the tree that my mom always decorates every year, and the hot cider that we were going to make, and the coffee. And all of a sudden, as I continued to think about what was on the other side of this trip, that trip didn't seem to be so difficult. And that's our life here on this earth, isn't it? That as we grow closer and closer to our destination, our home, the hope that we find in Christ Jesus begins to melt away those troubles and those trials that we go through. Now, I'm not in any way minimizing some of the great trials that some of you are going through. That's not my hope here. But what my hope and prayer is that as we look at the promises of God's holy word, and the coming of the King, the Messiah, that we are all lifted in our hearts and we are given hope that this ride of our life in this cold Suburban without a heater really isn't all that bad. And what lies on the other side of this life is worth every pain and piece of anguish that we go through. And so join me as we turn to the prophet Isaiah. We're going to look in chapter 11. As God established the people of Israel as a nation through the promise that he gave to the patriarch Abraham in chapters 12, 15, and 17 in the book of Genesis, he established them in a very unique way. As a people pulled and called out by God, chosen by God as a unique people, a people of God's own possession, God set it up that he would be their king, that he would be their sovereign. And he would be their king and he would rule in the midst of the people. And we see this even in the wilderness wanderings in the book of Exodus, that the presence of God led them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And God's presence was with his people and he was their ruler and king. But as time grew on, the people kind of got tired of this, which is really sad. And it probably shows us our own sinful nature. The people clamored and begged the prophet Samuel for a physical king like the other people had. They wanted something tangibly real. What they didn't realize is that at the same time they were asking for a king, they were saying that God's presence wasn't enough. What a remarkable thing. I hope we don't do that. But as the first king of Israel was chosen, a man named Saul, this man lacked integrity, and eventually his honor and his throne was stripped from him and his family and given to another. And as this throne was handed to another very, very seemingly insignificant family, and as the next king of Israel was chosen, it was a young teenager by the name of David. A boy, who had such confidence in the promise of Jesus and in the promise of God, Yahweh of Israel, that he was willing to stand in front of a 9-foot-tall giant at the age of 13 and took down this giant with one stone, without any armor, without any army with him, because he trusted and knew that the Lord would accomplish that which he promised to. And a lot of people, as we think of David and Goliath, we don't think of Jesus, but very much we should. Because Jesus is the one who won the victory, defeating Satan, defeating sin, death, and the power of the devil on the cross through his life, death, and resurrection. That historical event of David defeating Goliath only pointed toward a greater victory, the victory of the soon and coming king, the Messiah who was promised, capital M, the servant of God who was promised, capital S, and that servant and that Messiah is fulfilled and realized in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And so please stand as we read from the prophet Isaiah and his description of this Messiah King who will reign forever and ever. Reading in Christ's name. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together with a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, and a weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Then they shall not be hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Pray with me. Lord, as David was chosen to be king, and whose dad's name is Jesse, we see the promise of the soon incoming king, the Messiah, through the house and lineage of David become realized in this text and reminded to us through the prophet Isaiah. Lord, I pray that these words would encourage our hearts this Christmas season as we anticipate the arrival of the king. Lord, prepare our hearts. May we focus on Jesus this Christmas season and nothing else. I thank you for this text and this time. May every word that proceed from my mouth be from you and not from me. I pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So the very first thing that we see in verses 1 through 4a, just the beginning of verse 4, is the coming Messiah will be a king. The coming Messiah will be a king. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And so by the end of chapter 10 in the prophet Isaiah, this picture is painted by the prophet. And it's a picture of an entire huge forest of big trees. And as it's described in chapter 10, The Lord takes a huge axe and levels this entire forest. And so at the end of God's judgment upon two kingdoms because of their sin, the picture Isaiah leaves us with is a forest that's been totally cut flat and decimated. Now, I remember in high school learning about the rainforest and learning about the illegal harvesting of some of the rainforest wood. Oftentimes we would be shown pictures of these forests that just were totally leveled, and they wouldn't cut the trees off, you know, higher. They would cut these trees off really, really short so they could get as much of the wood that they could. And so that's the picture that we're left with this totally decimated forest. But something was going to grow out of this decimated forest, a branch. And as that forest represented the kingdoms of the world and how God would level the kingdoms and the government of the world, a kingdom would grow out of that judgment, a kingdom that would have no end. And so this is the picture that Isaiah paints as he says that there will come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. God will bring forth his kingdom through the Messiah King. And so a new government, a new eternal kingdom would be established by God himself, and it would be a kingdom and a government like no one has ever seen before. A kingdom that will be ruled by God himself. This Messiah, this servant, capital S, that is prophesied all throughout Isaiah, will come physically and bring this kingdom himself. And as we heard in our call to worship in Malachi, it will be God himself, incarnate in human flesh, that will establish this kingdom, and that person is Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 reminds us how Jesus willingly set aside all glory, honor, and privilege as God, as the second person of the Trinity, and he became human like us in every respect, like Adam was before the fall. A Savior that identifies with all the pain and suffering that you and I experience on a daily basis. A God who was willing to become nothing so that he could save us. This is the Messiah that we serve. This is the Messiah that we prepare our hearts for the coming of this Christmas season. This is the Messiah who has established his eternal kingdom, a spiritual kingdom for us here today. But he will one day come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and he will establish an earthly kingdom, a kingdom like we have never seen before. As the Messiah, Jesus, took on human flesh, he became totally human again, like the likeness of Adam before the fall. Paul reminds us of this truth in Romans chapter 1. He says in verse 3 and 4, concerning God's Son who was descended from David according to the flesh, and who was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, fully God, fully man. His humanity stems from the house and lineage of David, and in Christ Jesus, he fulfills all of these Old Testament prophecies that from the house of Jesse will come and be established the eternal kingdom of God forever and ever. Can anybody say amen? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. And so Jesus in his humanity will possess the fullness of the Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit, and be anointed as God's Messiah. And we see this realized at his baptism in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus is physically in the Jordan River being baptized by John the Baptist, and the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit descends and rests upon Jesus, and from heaven the voice of the Father speaks, and with two human senses the triune God revealed himself and the salvation that he would provide through the work and person of Jesus Christ. And that just gives me chills, that God loves us so much that he would reveal himself in such a potent and powerful way. And he does it because he loves us. God didn't have to save us, but he wanted to. And Jesus became nothing so that in him and his atoning sacrifice, we could be given everything, the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus is the Spirit-anointed Messiah who is fully God and fully man, and he will come again to judge all people. But in his first coming, he came in peace, riding on a donkey, as the children on the week of his resurrection cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Jesus came in peace, riding on a donkey as the Savior King. But again, he will come one day to judge the living and the dead. But in his first coming, he delighted in honesty. He did not judge by what his eyes saw. He did not decide disputes by what his ears heard. But with righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And I'm reminded of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus has brought his eternal kingdom. Jesus is the light of the world, and he exposes all lies and deception. Nothing is hidden from his sight, and he will judge all people according to God's truth, not man's truth. And you know, I think that's the most remarkable thing about this government, this kingdom that is set up. It won't be like the governments and kingdoms that we know now, who lie and manipulate and try to hide things from the public. Everything will be laid bare. Everyone will be held accountable because of what Jesus has done. And this is how Jesus judges, in truth and in spirit. And so if we think we're getting away with anything, I say this in great love and humility, you're not getting away with anything at all. Jesus will expose all, and he does this out of his love because he wants you two to be saved, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Messiah King who has established his eternal kingdom. The next thing that we say and I see in this text, and this one really moves me, especially with some of the prayers that we prayed for this morning of children suffering. God describes through the prophet Isaiah that the Messiah's eternal kingdom will have everlasting peace. And so here's where we turn the corner. We speak about the second coming of Christ. And beginning in halfway through verse 4, 4b, it says that he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so from verse 4b on through verse 9, Isaiah now describes the physical kingdom that will be established at Christ's second coming. And we see this realized and talked about in Revelation chapter 21. At the end of verse 4, it speaks of this coming judgment. Jesus will come again as the great warrior king. And that's the picture, the belt that's described here of his faithfulness and his resolute determination to bring God's justice on this earth physically by judging the living and the dead. Here Isaiah contrasts the rule and reign of the Messiah King with that of earthly kingdoms. He will reign in truth, complete truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit pessimistic about most governments. I don't think we get half of the truth. But with Jesus, we get all the truth. And he will reign in the holiness of God himself. And all will be laid bare. All lies will be exposed. Christ is described as the warrior king ready for action. And that's what it means by righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And that picture is that he's ready for a battle. He's ready to come again in glory and power with his angels to bring God's justice. But after he comes and he establishes God's new kingdom, there's an incredible picture here, and I don't want you to miss it. Look at all the pairings of the animals. There's a vicious animal paired with a docile animal. Two animals that wouldn't normally be together or coexist next to each other. And so a lion and a goat. And we see this picture of children and infants playing over the holes of the most deadly, venomous snakes that we know of today. And what Isaiah is telling us is that children and infants will never be afraid again. Because quite frankly, as we live in a sinful and fallen world, the children bear the brunt of the pain and anguish of human sin. And this will no longer be the case. There will be no more danger, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering in this eternal kingdom. Because the knowledge of the Lord will cover the entire earth as water covers the sea, and the sea is water. The fullness of God's revelation will be over the entire earth. In the restored new heavens and new earth and the new Jerusalem, there will be no more danger. Eternal peace. Can anybody say amen? Oh, I can't wait for that day. And that's what Advent is for as New Testament believers. To prepare our hearts in reminding that God kept his promise that Jesus was going to come. That he too will keep his promise at Christ's second coming and establish this kingdom. And it's a kingdom like we've never seen. It's a kingdom that our mind cannot imagine, because no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind of man imagined what God has in store for those who love him and place their trust in him. Amen. Now, doesn't this ride through this life become a little bit more bearable? Are we getting a little closer to grandma's house and smelling the cookies and the fireplace? That's the purpose of Advent, is that the pain and suffering that some of you are experiencing, and I know some of it's deep, and I'm so sorry. But Jesus is the great healer, and by his stripes, we all will be healed totally and entirely at Christ's second coming. And boy, I don't know about you, but that just gives me so much hope. It gives me encouragement to keep going, continuing to preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, even though people reject it. To live in a way that glorifies God, because quite frankly, this world needs it. And so I pray that each one of you are encouraged, as I am, to live as a living sacrifice because of this eternal kingdom with no more sin, no more danger, no more death, and no more sickness. The final thing that we see is that the Messiah's salvation is for all nations, even for Norwegians and Germans. Hallelujah. The Messiah's salvation is for all nations. Verse 10 of chapter 11, in that day the root of Jesse, and that is Jesus fulfilled, the coming Messiah, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. And so verse 10 reveals the truth that I never get tired of hearing. If you've been in this church for any length of time, you have heard me read Revelation chapter 21 quite a bit. And it will be read at my funeral, maybe two or three times. Because that's the purpose of this life. To be ambassadors for Christ, to be walking, talking billboards for Christ, because quite frankly, we don't belong here. Those who are in Christ Jesus belong to this eternal kingdom, and you're just passing through. You're on a temporary trip to grandma's house in a suburban with no heater. This is not your home. That's why when we say the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's what it means. As we temporarily live in this life, that we reflect and resemble the attributes of the kingdom we belong to as an act of worship to a holy God who is worthy of our praise. Amen? Of course, the hymn in this verse is Jesus. I would circle that hymn. And he will be a signal. And of him shall the nations inquire. This root of the stump of Jesse will seem insignificant, It will seem meager, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is no mere or insignificant Savior. He is described in the book of Revelation as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star who has accomplished the victory through his life, death, and resurrection, and will come and bring those who are his home with him to be in the presence of God for all eternity. The zeal of the Lord will do this, his excitement. Jesus said himself in Revelation chapter 22, he says, "I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne." And that just brings everything full circle from this verse, doesn't it? It fulfills all of the verse that we're looking at in Isaiah in chapter 22 of Revelation. Jesus says, "I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say," and the bride is the church. We proclaim God's word. "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let anyone who hears this say, 'Come.' Let anyone who is thirsty for salvation, let them come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the wells of salvation, come." And in the words of Christ, he said, "Come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke and my burden is light." He is the author and the finisher of our faith. My prayer is that he is your Savior this day, and may he be your Savior every day, all the days of your life, until you stand in his presence. In a kingdom that we cannot describe. A kingdom with no more sin, no more death, no more sickness, and no more sorrow. In the fullness of God's salvation will be complete. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts for this Advent season, for the coming of Christmas and the coming of Jesus. Lord, as you were born in a manger and you set aside all glory, honor, and privilege as a second person of the Trinity, you became human like us in every respect in order to save us. Thank you just seems so insignificant. May we worship you with our lives. May we too respond by the power of the Holy Spirit in faith, motivated by love for what you have done for us. And Lord, as we look forward to the coming, the second coming of the King, Lord, we proclaim with all the church, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." I thank you and I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.